Morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, let me say from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ that we are glad that you are here, and we hope that any time that you're able to come out to worship with us in spirit and in truth, it is our prayer that you absolutely do so. We want all you to know that our doors welcome hinges, and we love when we have visitors. And so please, as you have opportunity, don't run out. Hang around a little while. Let us get to know you, love on you. And hopefully the love and the hugs that you get will allow you to come back and spend some more time with us in the Word of God. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, I want you to know that we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We must continue to have a love for one another as Christ also loved us. We must have a zeal and a desire for God's word and to go out and tell others about it and have a mind to work, doing whatever it takes, whatever is necessary in order to be about God's business, to get his business done. And as you all know, we will always have struggles on this time side of life, but no matter what you do, no matter what you go through, I want you to know that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Have any of you ever felt like you were stuck? I mean, you were just stuck. You were in a rut. You continuously go through the same things over and over and over again. I'm stuck. I'm getting the same results no matter what I do. I still perpetuate the same end result. And I was thinking about this word stuck, and I wanted to use it as an acronym. I thought it was a wonderful acronym to help us realize why maybe some of us are stuck. First of all, maybe you're stuck because of the way you speak, your conversation, the things that come out of your mouth, things that you share day to day. Maybe some of us are stuck today because of our thought process, the way we think, what we have playing in our minds day in and day out. Maybe some of us are stuck because of the way we understand things. Maybe some of us are stuck because of the way we comprehend. Maybe, just maybe, some of us are stuck and in a rut because of our level of knowledge. When I was thinking about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and looking at this verse when he was talking about his dissertation in love, he was talking about speaking as a child, understanding as a child, thinking like a child. So I thought of another acronym, and that acronym is SUT. The way I speak, the way I understand, and the way I think. So I was thinking about it, the way I speak, the way I understand, the way I think. I think that this is a system in which we need to be focusing on. Because what came to mind is, this is what we need to do. It's a system. So I talk about speak, understand, think. Speak, understand, think. This is how you test your system. The system in which you're operating on currently, right now, is based on the way you speak, the way you understand, and the way you think. So I came up with it. I said, the perfect acronym for systems under test. The way you speak, the way you think, and the way you understand. Systems under test. And I thought to myself, just maybe, if you're stuck, if you're in a rut, maybe it's your system that you're operating under that's keeping you from being the child of God that he desires you to be. Systems under test. You have to ask yourself, if my life has not reached that expected end, what I want it to be, what I want it to look like, my spiritual walk with God, if it has not reached that expected end, maybe it's the system that you're operating under. And just maybe, you need to have the courage to change your system. Because your system needs to go under test. This morning, you need to test the current system that you're operating under. And you have to ask yourself this reason. Is there a reason why people don't like me? Or is there a reason why I don't like people? Maybe it's the system that you're operating under. You know, all of you know that I've been going to the gym. I've been working out. I've been trying to do my best to be healthy. And I always make a joke about, you know, trying to look good for my better half, which that's a benefit for her if the body does what it needs to do while I'm going to the gym. But nevertheless, it's about the inside. It's about being healthy. But we live in a society today where all people want to do is be about their image. All they care about is the outside. And it's not about the way you look. Part of the system that many are operating under is about the way they look. It's not about the way you look. You know what? We try so hard to change and look a certain way. Some of you all are fine. Some of you all are handsome. Some of you all are beautiful. God made you wonderfully, but you're miserable on the inside. You toe up in the inside. And we spend so much time. We challenge God even on the way we look. Well, I had to look like this. I wish I was beautiful. I wish I had this. I wish I was this tall. I wish I had this talent. We challenge God so much on the way we look. About how my body looks. We challenge more so about how we look, more so than challenging the way we think. Most of y'all want to get your eyes all prettied up and, you know, ladies get the eyebrows arched and men, you know, going to the gym and want to look a certain way. You want to have the prestige. You want the car. You want the house. You want the money. You want to look a certain way. And all we care about is the way we look. And I'm not preaching against pretty. Ain't nothing wrong with you taking care of yourself. I'm just asking, have you tested your system? We're so worried about what we look like and what your eyes look like and how good you look. You ought to be asking yourself, can I see with those pretty eyes? Am I looking through the lenses of Christ as I'm walking around trying to be beautiful? Am I beautiful on the inside? You know, I find as I go through my ministry that people are loyal to dysfunction. When you think about that, people are loyal to dysfunction. They will fight you tooth and nail over a system that's not working. You know how I know? Because the first thing they say, well, that just ain't me. That's just the way I am. Oh, I know you ain't talking about me. I mean, you got to accept me the way I am or don't accept me at all. And you have to stop and ask yourself this question. What if me isn't working? Have you ever considered me isn't working? How long, saints, will we hold on to a dysfunctional system and miss God? The system that's killing us, those of us who are believers, those of us who are in the church, is how we're speaking, how we're understanding, and how we are thinking. And that system stands in the way of your change. It stands in the way of your relationship with God. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. That's what he says. I gave it up. But I want you to understand something. What we're dealing with is an immature spiritual life. This is what this is talking about. This is talking about an immature spiritual life. This is not talking about your outer self. Because on the outside, let me tell you something, we're all maturing on the outside. We all are getting older on the outside. But what this is talking about is your inner man and woman. Are you still functioning like a child? Spiritually speaking, are you childish on the inside? Is your thought process, your understanding, and your speech childish? What I'm talking about is the way you react to something when you don't get your way. The way you understand stuff, the way you reason. You see, my son, I talk to my son, right, when he does things. All those of us who have young children. When we're speaking to them, we're speaking from a perspective of a mature adult. But them, on the other hand, are reasoning, no matter how we say it, are reasoning and understanding and thinking like a child. I can tell my son the exact thing that he needs to know, and yet he will reason like a child and say to me, okay, now, what'd you say again? No, so you want me to do this again? No, you think, well, see, so what you're saying is, that's his favorite saying, so what you're saying is, Daddy. So I say, son, if you do this again, I'm going to spank you. So what you're saying is, he reasons like a child. So I need for you to understand. It says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I became a man and put away childish things. But here's where a lot of men and a lot of adults get it mixed up. It didn't say, I put away childish things and that made me a man. That's not what it says. See, a lot of men and adults think because they put something away that makes them a man, right? Put away things and that made me a man. No, it says I became a man and I put away childish things. The word says I became a man and I still had a childish system. I want you to think about this. I became a man and I still had a childish system, but I needed to put that childish system away. See, what was an appropriate system with the way you're thinking now has become inappropriate. Why? Because I've grown up and I've become a man. And as a result of it, the way I speak, the way I understand, and the way I think, I no longer want to do that. I put that to the side. I'm too much of a mog. I was like, what's a mog? A man of God. I'm too much of a man of God to continue to operate to that system. I'm not bound to a system that is not approved by God. I'm not functioning under a system that's childish and not pleasing on to God. I'm trying to tell you that system that we operating under, we got to put it away. You got to say to yourself, I got to put it away. I have to put this system away. So the question that you have to ask yourself this morning, are you a man or woman of God loyal to a system of a child? I'm a grown man and a grown woman who's loyal to a system of a child. Or are you waiting on the system to leave you? Or are you going to put it away? I need for y'all to understand that the child in us is not gone or destroyed. The reason how I know is because I'm sure some of you all who have kids still go outside and play football and throw and play basketball. We still have water balloon fights. I'm telling you, I can do it with the best of them. You want to have a sleepover at my house? I'm talking about this fair game. You go to sleep in my house as a young person, I'm putting some toothpaste in one hand, tickling you on your face. You slap yourself with the toothpaste, and then you wake up trying to figure out what's going on. The childishness does not leave us. It's not gone. But what we must understand that it's severely limited. Now, when we're spiritually talking about this, we're talking about it is spiritually limited. Now, I think some of y'all are probably wondering, I'm holding this phone while I'm up here preaching. I'm just swinging this phone while I'm preaching. Well, there's a reason. Part of what's going on today with society is this right here. It's connected to them. It's like the heartbeat of a person. It's the brain inside their skull. It is the breath that they breathe. This right here. And for some of you all, while I was doing it and moving and flailing around, you looking at the phone. But let me tell you something what I mean by it's not destroyed. I put it away. It still exists. It's still there, but I put it away. And for most of us, the issue is when you don't put it away, it's in the way of you receiving what God has for you in your life. Because you just won't simply put it away. That phone, while I was holding it, was keeping me from truly reaching you because you looking at the phone. You focusing on me flailing the phone around. What you have in your life that's not a system that's pleasing unto God is standing in the way from you receiving what God has for you. You got to put it away. You got to put it away. Let me tell you something. If you don't put it away, whatever that it is in your life, it will put you away. I'm going to say it on this side. It'll put you away. It'll stand directly between the relationship you're supposed to have with God because it has become your God. No wonder why Paul, while he was given a dissertation on love, says, put away childish things. If you have an understanding like a child, you thinking like a child, you operating like a child, you can't really understand the scope of what love is and what is required to love. When I saw that, I was like, man, that's deep. Paul was trying to tell us, you got to put away childish stuff. God wasn't, when he sent his son, Jesus wasn't operating with a childish mind. Even as a child, he put childish stuff away. He was mature in the faith. He understood what was required. He understood there was a system he needed to be operating under that was pleasing unto God. Just holding on. We just keep on holding on, holding on. You can't put it away if you're holding on to it and defending it. You'll be amazed how many people are defending a system that they need to put away. That don't apply to me. You ever heard that? Oh, that don't apply to me. There's a lot of people sitting in the pews today that this does not apply to. You don't have a problem with your system. You don't have a problem in your maturity. You don't have a problem in your prayer life. You don't have a problem between you and your children. You don't have a problem on the job. That don't apply to me. I got it all together. That's why you stuck. Then you got the people say, don't talk to me. I don't even want to hear. You know what I mean? People, before I can pull out the car, hey, my name's Chris. I'm good. All right. Or they'll tell me before they even hear what I have to say, I'm not buying. I'm not buying. Whatever you sell it, I'm not buying. I said, what I got for you is free, and it will set you free. Most people don't want to hear it. They want to continue to operate. They're defending a system that stands between them and their relationship with God. I want to just encourage you this morning. If you're somebody who's stuck, nothing good ever comes your way. I need you to consider this. I always give this example, and it's a great example. Just consider you're on a two-lane highway, and you decide where the oncoming traffic is to go on that side and drive directly towards the traffic. What do you think is going to happen? That's exactly what a lot of us are doing in our spiritual walk. We're in the right lane. We understand the right way we're supposed to be going. We know the destination, and we're trying to get there. And then all of a sudden, we decide, you know what? I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do it my way. And then you're wondering why everything is coming your way. You're wondering why my finances are like this. You're wondering why my marriage is the way it is. You're wondering why my children are conducting themselves in this manner. Maybe if everything is coming your way, you're going the wrong way. You have to change your system. Here's what's important. I'm going to tackle the speech. What's coming out of my mouth? I need you to really think about this. The thing that is coming out of my mouth, what if that thing is poisoning my opportunities and the greatest relationship I can ever have with God? Because what's coming out of my mouth? Over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. I need for us to really grasp this. And those who love it will eat its fruits. What's coming out of your mouth is keeping you from the blessing. What's coming out of your mouth is keeping you from changing your eternal destination. What's coming out of your mouth is keeping you from what God has for you. That's why it says over in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeded from the heart, and this defiles a person. What's coming out of your mouth? What you're saying, what you're speaking. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you that God wants to change your speech. How you communicate. How you are speaking to others. So if you're here this morning, I need you to really understand that you need to change how you speak. That's the S in systems under chest. Changing your speech. Secondly, understanding. Understanding is important. Understanding is serious. This is how serious it is. The understanding that you get, that you have, determines the expected end. I want you to hear me. It determines the expected end, the way you understand. Case in point. Have you ever been mad at somebody? Somebody you love, a family member, your best friend, because you thought they said something that they didn't really say. And when you talk to them, you was going to give them a piece of their mind. Oh, yeah, they said this about me. And you misunderstood it. And then after the fact, you found out that you were wrong. And once you found out that you were wrong, things went back to normal. You didn't get a chance to really go off. You didn't mess the relationship up, but you realized that they didn't mean it that way. That's why I can't stand text. Because you really don't know how a person, you know, the meaning behind it there. They could say something like, man, you crazy. And they'd be smiling when they said it, man, you crazy. And then when you see it, who you call it crazy? calling me crazy. I can't wait to see him. I'm giving peace of mind. And then when you see him, you go, hey, man, did you get my text? Man, you're so crazy. You're the funniest person I've ever seen. Oh, man, okay. I was about to go off on that person calling me crazy, but they were just playing with me. Here's what I want you to understand. You're still the same, and they're still the same. Your best friend, your family member, the persons that you're cool with, they're still the same, but the relationship wasn't severed, and it was restored because of understanding. Listen, understanding is powerful. I've said this before, and I need you to get it. Understanding simply means the truth you stand under. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? Because you understand what Christ did for you, so you're here to recognize, to pay homage, to praise God the Most High for sending His only begotten Son who died for you and for me. And because you understand it, it's your truth. So now you think about it, if somebody was standing and operating under a mindset of hatred, a mindset of evilness, because that's the truth that they stand under. You know what it is? It's your version of what's right, what happened, what's wrong, and what needs to be fixed. We all understand that he that is baptized, right? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We understand what's right. And because we understand what's right, we understood what happened and what he did. Christ died for us. And as a result, we need to die to ourselves, be buried in water. Now we understand what's wrong with us because I'm not in Christ. I'm out of Christ, but I need to be baptized. And as a result, you understand what needs to be fixed. Self. So as a result, I stand under that truth. I go down in the watery grave and I live faithful unto the death. Understanding is important. It's a serious matter. And what's crazy and so sad is that it can be hindering your blessing. Your understanding, the truth you stand under, is hindering your blessings. You know, if something went down here at the church, let's just say something went down at the church. Something bad, something that happens and it was all over and then we all know about it. Can't hide it. We all gonna remember what happened. Right? We all going to say we remember what happened, but we going to emphasize different aspects of what happened. You know the exercise you did in the school when somebody whispers in your ear and then they tell that person and then they tell that person and then the next person. And by the time it gets to the original person, it's kind of got some of what it was said, but it's twisted all around. You know why? Because what happens is people are only going to emphasize different aspects of what happened. And a lot of people are operating on different aspects of what happened, and they believe it. If you don't believe me, all you got to do is call a family meeting and talk about what happened at the family reunion last year. That's all you got to do. And if not that, what happened at the funeral and who was acting up and who was acting crazy and who was supposed to do this and why they didn't do that. And it'll be different aspects of the story being told. That's why the Bible, when it comes to understanding, says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. There's a reason why that's there. These are not just famous quotes for us to quote and sound smart. They're there for a reason. And I really love the King James Version because it says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And all I'm trying to say to you all is there are a lot of people that are operating under a system. They don't have any understanding. And the understanding that they do have is not that of God. Is not that of a Christian, does not bear the characteristics of Christ. What all are getting, get understanding. You know what I realize? Out of all my years of preaching and counseling, do marriage counseling, I realized something about counselors. I really realized something about counselors. They're great. And I have nothing against people who counsel for a living, who are therapists. They are great, but I understand something. Counselors are people to help you understand you. So I'm going to go talk to somebody to tell me about me. We're going to spend hundreds of dollars to sit down for someone to tell you a different aspect of you. Tell you what you need to change. Tell you what you need to do better. Hey, you wrong. You shouldn't be talking to your wife that way. You wrong. You shouldn't be treating your husband that way. You wrong. You got to be better with your kids. Sit down for hundreds of dollars for somebody to give you a different respect, a perspective of yourself. When the word of God is right here, it's free, it's infallible. It is exactly what you need. It is God breathed, and we would rather have someone else tell us how we ought to be thinking and operating. That's why in all again, we got to get understanding. And you got to break the cycle. See, the hardest part is that we keep going back. That's the issue. That's the issue. We keep going back to the old system. Right? That same system that has hindered you your whole life. That's why scripture tells us over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 through 24. It told us to put off your old self. This belongs to your former manner of life. That formal understanding. That system that you've been operating under. And it is corrupt through deceitful desires. That's why you keep going back. We act like the devil don't know what your weaknesses are. He's not going to taunt you with something that you've overcame, something that you're good at. He's going to taunt you with the things you struggle with the most. Go back to those, man. Them Christians over there, man. Going back to the way you've been operating. Case in point, my sister put up an Instagram post. And it showed her eating good all week long. She was eating watermelon and all types of fruit and, you know, jogging and looking good. It was a whole little thing. And at the end, on the weekend, it showed her with a bag of burgers and fries and Kool-Aid and everything else that you could think of. And I thought about it. That's what we do. That's what we do. We good for just a little while. We good on Sunday. We good on Wednesdays, but then we go back to that old state of mind, that old system that we've been operating under. Why? We understand that the system is there. We understand what God requires, but we go back to the old thing. You know you don't need to be eating pig feet and all types of cheese and all. I mean, we talking about folks that be eating fudge and I mean, for breakfast. You understand you aren't supposed to do that, but you do it anyway. Why? Because you tell yourself in a definitive way, I ain't nothing wrong with that. I could do what I want to do. Why? Because that's me. You only live once. And you also only die once. And if you die under a system that does not operate under God, oh mama. So here's the thing. Here's what we got to do, saints. I'm about to wrap this up. Here's what we got to do. You got to break the cycle. I was looking at Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, 1 through 2, it says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So simply, you are a slave to a childish system. You have an inheritance that is waiting for you, given to you freely, a free gift, but you're operating like a child. Because you have a system that tells you that I'm okay and that's just me. And instead, what you're doing, because of your immaturity, you're not really able to receive what's due. Because you're operating under a system like a child. And here's the thing. He can't inherit what's rightfully his. Right? Because Here's the thing. He's following those who he should be leading. So the question is, who are you following that you need to be leading? You're operating on a child of system. If you know, if you're a child of God and the world is influencing you and you're not influencing the world, you need to change the operation that you're under. We all understand that. When you go to, when you're driving a car, you first get it, it's working fine, but then it starts doing all types of things and sputtering, doing all these things, and the engine, the check engine light comes on. What do you do? Well, I'm gonna take it to AutoZone, to an auto mechanic, and what they're gonna say, well, I need to do a diagnostic. Because clearly there's something in the system that's not operating the way that it needs to operate. So therefore, something has to change. And many of you are in here today, are operating on the system, and your spiritual check light is on, and it's time to go to the auto zone of God and get your system checked and fixed. You got to put it away. He can't inherit what it is. So we got to stop the old way of thinking, the old way of reacting, and resist the old system. So let me put it this way. You first got to realize it's not us. You got to put it away. We keep holding on to it. Logan, come here. I'll give you something. Want you $100 right there. I want you to hold on to that real tight. Just stay right there. Stay right there. Hold on. Try to walk away with you. See, this time we sleep, we're going to walk away with the money. Hold on to it tight. Put it in your hand. Hold it tight. Just like this. Put it in your hand. Hold it tight. Just hold it tight. Holding on to what you believe is better, to a system that you believe is better. You're operating under something that you believe is better, and you holding on to it tight. Hold on. I'm going to try to take it. You better hold on tight. You got it tight. I got it tight, and I'm holding on to it. I'm defending it, and I'm telling you to let it go, but no, I'm going to hold on to it, and God is saying something to you. I got something I want to put in your hand, but you're going to hold on to this, and you're going to miss all of this. No, just keep on holding on to it. Don't let your hand go now. Thank you, brother. You see? See how that looks? You holding on to this, and God is trying to give you this, eternal life. He would have spent this as soon as he got it, especially the way things are now. He can't go buy some candy. It probably costs $100 for a bag of candy. We got to let go. We got to let it go. But you must embrace this. Here's the biggest problem. Most people say, I can't survive without it. Whatever that it is, it's not just money. Whatever that it is in your life, the biggest issue is people say, I can't survive without it. And what you think is, because you put it away, you get rid of it, in your mind, you're thinking you can't survive without it, so you say, it's killing me. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's killing me. They asking me to do what's right. They asking me to read my Bible. They asking me to pray. They asking me to show love to my neighbor as I want somebody to love me. It's killing me. I want to be selfish. It's all about me. And you can't get rid of it because you think killing it is going to kill you. So you hold on to it because you think you can't function without it. And I'm here to tell you, there are some functionalities that need to change. And the only way that you can function in a proper manner is functioning under the will of God. When you do this, it keeps you from being the new you. That's what we're missing. You're missing out on the new normal. Not what people are doing, the new normal. So you got to stop your childish ways. So here's the bottom line. How do I put it away? How can I put it away? Let me tell you something. You can't put nothing away that you can't identify with. You can't put it away. You got to identify the fact that you got a problem and you're operating under a system that is displeasing to God. So how do I do it? It's very simple. Very simple. I know you're going to say, you say it's simple, but it is. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You got to resist. What I'm talking about right now is for all of us who are operating under a system that's not working, is you got to get some resistance training. We all understand without resistance, there ain't no growth. You got to resist. You got to fight. If you had a resistance band, the tougher the band, the more resistance, the stronger you get. You got to resist the temptation to continue to operate under a system that's displeasing to God. You got to pull against those things that are going to every time you try to control you. You got to resist those things that control your speech, your thought, and your understanding in a negative way. So the more you cut out those thoughts that you have made truths in your mind and make the truths of God what resonates in your mind and in your heart, that's what's going to help you resist. We talk about it all the time. I think Brother Sonny mentioned every time he has an opportunity. The more you stay in the Bible, the more you pray, the more it becomes easier for you to resist. And if you're in the Word and you understand the Word, you know the storm and recognize it before it even gets there. You're prepared. The more we challenge, the more we understand. And the more you challenge how you understand, to say maybe it's not the way. Maybe it's not the way I'm thinking. So the less power, that's that thing that I give truth to, when I say I resist it, it doesn't give it the power. So I'm going to end with this. Everybody wants to change. Everybody wants something, right? We go to the gym because we want to lose weight. We want to look better. Go to school because you want to get a good job. You want to get a good education. You want to make a lot of money. And you know what I've realized? When I talk to people at the gym and I tell them, you'd be amazed. They just talk all out the side of their face. In the moment, they say, well, what do you do for a living? I'm a preacher. Oh, I'm sorry for talking like that around you. Forgive me. No, I said, oh, no change now. I'm just a man. It ain't me who you need to be concerned with. You need to be concerned with your Heavenly Father. And if you don't know him, you need to get to know him. And I can help you in that arena. But what I've realized that at the gym and everywhere that I go and I talk to people, and as you talk to people, guess what comes up in conversation? Want. Want always comes up in conversation. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. I want. I want. I want. Always in conversation. But let me tell you what happens. When you really about your business, it's not want to that shows up in your conversation, because it is expectation that shows up in your behavior, which shows people who you really are. What I'm saying is, God knows what to expect from you by what you do, not by what you say. By what you do. The Bible tells us that a tree is judged by the fruit that it bears, not the fruit that it wants, but by the fruit that it bears. Not the fruit it thinks of, not the fruit it hopes it will produce, but what it produces. And what I'm talking about is what you do when you leave here. I'm not talking about when we sing, and I'm not talking about when we together. I'm talking about what you do when you leave this building. When we leave this assembly, how are you living your life? How are you acting? Let me say this, and I'm done. Do you have the courage to leave the system you've been currently operating under? Do you have the courage? Maybe to leave the congregation you know you shouldn't be involved in. Maybe leaving that relationship you know you shouldn't be in. Being involved in activities you know you shouldn't be doing. Do you have the courage to leave it? You have to be willing today to do what others won't do in order to have that thing that you desire tomorrow that others won't have. I'll say that again. You got to be willing to do today what others aren't willing to do today so you can have what others won't have tomorrow. And I'm talking about your spiritual life. So either you on God's side or you against me. He says you either with me or you against me. You either operating on the system that I designed for you to operate under or you going to operate it under the world's. And I'm here to tell you right now, I hope you choose God's side. So if you're here this morning and you've been going through some things, you have not obeyed the gospel, maybe you desire to get out of that old system you've been operating under and you want to put Christ on in baptism, you can do that today. As long as today is called today, you got to do what others aren't willing to do today. And if you are a Christian and you're here this morning and you've been struggling with some things, you've been battling with some things, you've been struggling, you need prayer, whatever that may be, you're saying to yourself, I got to get out of that old system that I've been operating under. And if you can do so this morning, you don't have to keep operating under that system. You can get out of that seat, off of that pew, stop being a permanent fixture and get up and do something about it. Have the courage to put it away. So if you're here this morning, and you desire the prayers of the church, or you desire to put Christ on in baptism, please come now. As together we stand and we sing.